I'm Dan Abnett, and you're listening to Sean Hammer. Well, here we are again with episode 41. First time for 41, but another day for us. Today, we have a couple guests, Chance and Polly from the Three Die Black. They join us today, and we're going to talk some Blood Bowl. So let's go ahead and get a little interested in what I've been doing for the last couple weeks. I know it's been a little bit more than 2 weeks, but let's get into it. We're going in reverse order. I saw Tron last night. Pretty sweet movie. I did enjoy it. Very beautiful movie to watch. Pretty decent. Great soundtrack. Recommend it. I give it 1.5 thumbs up, which is pretty good. 2 thumbs up is something like The Dark Knight. Played some HeroClix yesterday. They had the 75th release of the DC set. Took second. That was pretty cool. Got some cool figs. I signed up for this year's Great Lakes Warhammer League. It's a 2,500-point Warhammer League, a course of, I think it's 5 or 6 games. I played in it 1 year before, kind of dropped out. I tend not to take things too seriously, and I used Peter off and not do 100% as best as I could. But this year I'm taking the DL Wood Elves. My army list consists of a level 4 Spellweaver, a Treeman Ancient, 18 Gladeguard with bows, 10 Gladeguard with bows, 10 Gladeguard with bows, 12 Dryads with a Branch Wraith, another unit of 12 Dryads with a Branch Wraith, 1 Noble with a standard with Battle Standard Bearer and a Shrieking Blade, and another Noble with a Waywatcher, Altar, Hail of Doom Arrow, and the one bow that you can reroll filled to hits. Took 6 Treekin, 1 unit of 6 Waywatchers, and Treeman. That's my 2,500-point army to the T. That's what I'm bringing in Port Huron. So, Michigan, get ready. That's my Wood Elf army. Wish me luck. 40K, I have not been doing too much for 40K. I assembled some... Well, I think I did this last time, assembled some Hellions. I've been looking at them, thinking about how the hell I'm going to paint them. I think I came up with an idea with them, really, over last night once I went to go see Tron. I'm gonna try and make my Dark Eldar that I do play kind of look like the whole Tron aspect with the lights and stuff. I'm not going to light anything up but the paint job. Wish me luck, boys and girls. I'll put that up on the website once I get them painted. And other than my granddaughter being born and my Ultramarines movie finally coming in, which I'll speak about that in a moment or so, that's about my weeks in Warhammer. Been playing a lot of Blood Bowl on the PSP, and that is about it. Sorry, it's not too interesting. This month's White Dwarf is a piece of shit. Don't recommend anyone getting it. The Christmas episodes of White Dwarfs are coming to the fact where I think if you have a subscription, they should reimburse you $9 for that issue because it's a waste of total time. And I wish they were a little bit better with their articles and what they put in them. Definitely White Dwarfs are not what they used to be in the past, and this one is left wanting. So that's about my weeks with Warhammer lately. I wanted to do more, but just hadn't. So we're going to take a short little break. I know we just started into 4 minutes and 30 seconds. But we're going to hear from Cool City Games and another podcast. Then we'll go ahead and into the 3 Die Block interview. All right, see you in a minute.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Of guest host at the imperialtruth.blogspot.com.
Hey, I'm Luke.
And I'm JJ.
And we're the guys from World's End Radio. When we're not playing games
or lying to our wives about it,
then we're going to the ends of the earth to bring you the latest content on all aspects of the Games Workshop hobby.
And a few other worlds besides.
So come find us at www.worldsendradio.com.
Or subscribe to the show through iTunes.
As promised, here we are with Paulie and Chance from the 3 Die Block. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
Hey, John. How you doing? Thanks for having us.
Oh, no problem. I got Paulie and Chance on today to talk some Blood Bowl. I was going to start covering it myself, but I've realized after being turned on to their podcast, I could never do such a great job as they do. So I was just like, well, might as well get trained by Dooku when you can have Yoda.
Can I say that Chance is definitely Yoda because he doesn't have the hair?
That's right. But I have ears.
So you got the ears?
Oh, yeah.
That, and I'm just a little evil when it really boils down to it.
I'm glad neither of us is Dooku. I'm very pleased by that.
All right. So for our listeners, who are you guys?
My name is Pauly, and I am one of the hosts of 3 Die Block. And, of course, with me is my co-host.
I'm Chance, and I'm also a host of the 3 Die Block.
Yeah, and we're based out of the Midwest. We're actually in Iowa City, Iowa.
Iowa, go Hawkeyes.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep.
Now, you guys got your own podcast. Where can the listeners find you at?
They can find us at 3dieblock.com or at our forums are at pseudoradio.blogspot.com.
Absolutely. We every 2 weeks, we pump out a podcast where we cover a lot of different topics. A lot of times we'll highlight certain teams. We've already gone through all of the Blood Bowl teams. All how many of them are there, Chance?
24.
24 Blood Bowl teams, and we're actually starting round two. We're talking a little bit more on strategy than actually how to build the team, but actually how to play the team.
Exactly. And you can download those not only at our site, but also at iTunes.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you guys search 3 Die Block or Blood Bowl, you will definitely find us. We're the one that says 3DB.
That's us.
3DB. What is Blood Bowl exactly for the listeners? I haven't started Blood Bowl yet. We'll get to my advice here in a minute about Blood Bowl, but what is it in terms of the actual miniature game?
Well, of course, you and your listeners are familiar with Warhammer, obviously.
Yes.
It's sort of take the Warhammer armies, shrink them down to football size, and then imagine all of these different races settling their differences on the field of play instead of the field of battle. So instead of, multi-thousand point armies rolling across these giant tables, it's a much condensed version. Each team has 11 on the pitch, and they're battling for a football, trying to punch them for touchdowns and kill each other. So you're basically the scaled-down sports version of the larger Warhammer game.
I think even back in the days of yore, this was when they stumbled across the ancient rule book, explaining all the rules. That by the way, it was written by a person named Nuffle or
NFL. Yeah.
Yeah. This was a way that they were actually able to take it off take it from the war and put it on the Blood Bowl pitch.
Exactly. And all the teams in Blood Bowl are derived directly from Warhammer armies. Mm-hmm. For example, there's a team called the Kimmeri, which is all kind of mummies and skeletons, and they come from the Tomb Kings.
Mm-hmm.
There are orcs, and they have goblins, because the orcs and goblins work together in Warhammer. There are high elves, on and on and on, and they're all developed from Warhammer armies.
Absolutely, and there's the main races, like mm-hmm. humans, Chance sure. mentioned orcs, there's goblins,
yep.
There's ogres.
Vampire lords are in there.
Vampires, yep. and a whole slew of different races.
Exactly.
All right, cool. Now, Ichu, how long have you been playing this game?
I picked it up probably, has it been about 3-4 years now? I think I started...
At least three, because you were playing a year before 08. Yeah, about 3 or so for you.
Yeah, about 3 years. And we picked up, there's a local, our local game store, Critical Hit Games, out of Coralville, Iowa. Had a season that had been going for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Really thought it was very cool. Matter of fact, I had tried to adapt. Chance and I are both former HeroClix players,
mm-hmm.
and I had tried to adapt the rules for HeroClix to
scenarios.
To kind of model what I thought Blood Bowl would be like. And then I started playing Blood Bowl and realized, well, I don't need to do that. I don't need to make up the rules. They already have them done.
And he told me about that for a year, and I resisted because with Warhammer, it's a paint your own, you know, miniature kind of game.
Absolutely.
You buy your metal miniatures, you paint them. And I just thought, that's never going to hold interest for me. I know too many games already. The rule book is huge. I don't want in. But Paulie leaned on me for at least a year and got me into it, and I haven't looked back.
Yeah. Matter of fact, part of the reason I got into it was, you know, HeroClix was great, and I got a lot of enjoyment out of it, met a lot of wonderful people, but I was really kind of thrown off of, this is the first time I've ever had to paint my own miniatures.
Yeah.
So I used Star Wars miniatures for the first
mm-hmm.
time
okay.
when I put together my Norse team and used all Wookiees. The name of the team was Let the Wookiee Win.
Yeah, a lot of people will do that. They'll bring miniatures in mm-hmm. to kind of defray that. You get scared
thought,
buying
yeah.
heavy metal miniatures and mm-hmm. painting them. You bring that kind of stuff. But I use D&D miniatures for my first orc team.
Yeah, then finally we graduated and started painting our own and
yes.
found a lot of enjoyment out of painting
mm-hmm.
your own miniatures. And
mm-hmm.
there's a lot, to me, I don't know if I could go back to using just pre-painted figures.
I could only if I don't, there's no metal miniatures out there that look like a team I
want. Oh, yeah.
I'll
sure.
do that, but I slowly would like to acquire and paint one for every team. And again, you and your listeners are well familiar with painting
yeah.
your own miniatures and how there's just so much more pride involved with laying out a team that you spent time
mm-hmm.
on painting and basing and numbering and making them look just so. Maybe you've painted them to match your theme. Maybe you've painted them to match, you know, certain characters or whatever. You put a lot of pride in it. In fact, all of our local leagues actually at the end of every season have a best theme award, which often goes to the best or most creatively painted team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to win that this season. I'm going to announce that.
Chance will definitely be in the running, but no one can quite beat the Ho-Chunk High Rollers, which is my Wood Elf team.
If you finish painting them.
Yeah, if I finish painting
them. A lot of people on my own podcast have been joining Killzones, which is this 40K skirmish game where you can actually level up and gain skills and stuff. And
okay.
a lot of great conversions of paint jobs have come out of these small little game systems. I know Blood Bowl has been there for a while where Killzone mm-hmm. is actually a fan-based codex or
mm-hmm.
supplement. But, yeah, it is fun painting. I've been working on I bought the Shadowforge Nun team.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And they haven't been started yet, but I did finish up my Gwar team from the old
nice.
Gwar Rumble in Antarctica, and I think uh-huh. I'm thinking about running those as either Chaos or Orcs. I'm not sure.
They probably lend themselves perfectly to Chaos.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Or some, I'm imagining these like huge, big, bulky guys, which
mm-hmm.
is, you know, you've got your Black Orcs, you know, the seasoned Orcs, and then you've got your Blitzers and your Linemen. That end up those would be great along with the heavy armoring.
You mentioned a game having a fan based codex. Blood Bowl actually is in its sixth rules edition, and the current rulebook 6.0, or it's called the Competitive Rules Pack, was actually heavily researched as far as hundreds and hundreds of games played worldwide for stats,
mm-hmm.
as far as balancing teams and changing things for this new edition, and was done almost entirely by fans, by volunteers that got together. Work together on this great new rules edition, and it's widely regarded as probably the best, most balanced rules edition they've had.
It definitely started that way with
yeah.
the there was a living rule book
mm-hmm.
5.0,
right.
And they really stripped it down to the point where it
mm-hmm.
was it they kind of did it almost like a reboot after
mm-hmm.
the fourth edition, and the fifth edition was one that was kind of supposed to be there was an entire rules committee that kind of looked over
right.
stuff and like Chance had said brought all these ideas to it. And then Games Workshop came out with the competitive rules
yeah. But based on edition. Was primarily volunteer
Which was
work, fan based volunteer work,
yeah, based on the recommendations.
Yeah,
and it's so neat when a game system can actually be developed by fans, and it gets a nice the synergy between player and game actually flows a lot better than actually here's your new game, play it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fans around the world play tested it way more than most companies will play test a game when it first comes out, and it really shows. The rule book is just really sound all the way around.
Cool. Let's see. Just a little off topic. I went a little crazy with my questions, but out of you two, if you were to pick two Blood Bowl teams, which ones are your favorite?
Well,
Paulie, love
yeah.
this question. I'm going to defer just for a moment. Let
me
take this one.
You know, actually, number one is a no-brainer. Number two is actually that one's pretty tough.
That's a great question.
I think
it's two instead of one.
Yeah. My number one team is the Slann. Now, Slann work a little differently than they do, in the Warhammer universe.
They're not called the Slann in the Warhammer, are they?
No,
I can't remember.
I believe they're still called Slann, but there's these huge toad overlords.
Of the Lizardman crew in Warhammer.
Yeah,
right, right, right.
Yeah, the Slann are the big fat guys.
Yeah, well, this one is more the idea behind this Slann are still frogs, but they're leaner, they're meaner, but they still can jump.
Yeah,
and that's my entire – I love playing the Slann. They play like no other team. They're just awesome. So I'm actually looking forward to hearing Chance's – pick on what he thinks his favorite team is.
You're not ducking the rest of that question. What's
number
two, Paulie?
Well, I don't know when it really, really boils down to it.
You want me to come back to you?
Yeah.
You'll buy you the time?
God, I don't know. Right. That's a really hard question.
All right, Sean, you know who comes more prepared to the interviews now. My number one team for anybody that listens to our podcast is going to be the Goblins. That is obvious. The Blood Bowl teams have a tiered system. I'm not quite sure if it's the same in Warhammer, but it's designed to where there are some teams that are pretty good overall and newer coaches can kind of get in on the ground floor. There's some middling teams that maybe have some deficiencies and you have more options with them, but it's going to be a little tougher. And there are three teams that are designed to be the toughest to play. Now, what these teams do is give an experienced coach kind of a challenge. If you've played Blood Bowl for a few years, a few seasons, and you feel you've kind of maxed out on the good teams and you really want to push yourself, you'll play one of these three teams. The three teams are Halflings, because they're short and they're crunchy. Ogres, which are good, but half their team is super weak, and there are downfalls there. And the Goblins. Now, the whole key to the Goblins, Paulie mentioned the Slann, they leap. They jump over everybody. Well, they're frog people. That makes sense. The Goblins cheat, all right? The Goblins sneak weapons onto the pitch, like chainsaws and ball and chains. They bribe the referees to look the other way when they're kicking people. All kinds of good stuff. They have trolls in the team that sometimes will eat the Goblins. It's chaos. It's mayhem. It's all about cheating, so I love the Goblins. Now, I don't win a whole lot with them. I'm a little under 500 playing them, but they are my favorite team. Now, second is a team I'm currently playing, and like Paul, I'll admit, there was some battle for second, but right now, my second favorite team is definitely the Khemri.
Mm.
The Khemri, we mentioned earlier, are based on the Tomb Kings. It's an Egyptian-themed team of, you know, players that were good thousands of years ago, but now they're dead, and they've come back to play the game. They helped start. You have these giant mummies. They're called Tomb Guardians, and then everybody else is skeletons. The key here is they have a lot of raw strength, which is their positive. The bad news is their agility, which is what you need to do to pick the ball up and throw it and all that stuff, is terrible. It's the worst average agility in the game because, you know, they're just skeletons. So I like that kind of, you know, that push and pull. You have the advantage, but you also have the disadvantage you must negotiate with. So that's my second favorite team, the Khemri.
And rethinking it through, probably my second favorite team will probably end up being the Vampires. Vampires are a chance to talk about some of the harder teams to play. This is not a team for novice, and it was really the first time I took a stretch on a team. And the idea, the entire shtick is you have these vampires who are just awesome on the pitch. They're just menaces on the pitch. But then on top of it, you have a whole bunch of followers or thralls that are on the pitch as well. And each of the vampires, before they take any sort of action, they have to roll a check for bloodlust, where they may have to go and bite one of their own players, and they can either injure them or totally badly hurt them, so they're gone for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
They're so fun. And, again, I think I like playing different type teams. I started playing a Wood Elf team, and I like them, but I just don't think I know quite how to play them yet.
He wishes they jump like the frogs. That's the main problem.
I do.
But I wish every had a chainsaw and a ball and chain and could bribe the referees, because not every team can be goblins.
Well, every team can bribe
the referees. No, they pay too much. The goblins have that secret deal where they pay less.
They pay less.
They look good doing it, too.
They sometimes look good. Sometimes they look horrible, but that's the fun part.
And I'll tell you, on a matchup, Chance and I have played Goblins on Slaan once. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I thought I was a heavy favorite in that game.
You were a heavy favorite.
And I went up 3-1.
In the second half.
Yeah, so it runs very similar to Australian rules football, where if you score, you get in the end zone, you get a point, and you go back and forth and back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was up 3-1. And then Chance came roaring back to tie it in regulation.
Because, yeah, he could score on me easily, but I had to rely on casualties. There's two ways to play this game, okay? Two basic ways. There's a lot of derivations.
Right, there's a good way and there's the bad way.
You can score a lot. Just get around your opponent, throw it over their head, jump over their head, whatever, and score more touchdowns and win. Or you could smash everybody and injure them. There's a whole injury system in the game where there's a skill progression both on the positive side where players can accrue, they're called star player points, through the completion of certain tasks.
Yeah.
A completed pass,
kind
a
of
touchdown, an injury. Yeah, and you could choose skills. You could develop the players, do what you want. You could kind of attach to them, but you shouldn't. So there's also an injury system where you can hurt people. You can permanently, negate some of their stats or kill them outright. I mean, you could have a player that you've played for many, many, many seasons. He's the best player ever. He's a total all-star. He could get some bad rolls against him and be dead. You must take him off your roster and replace him with a rookie. So my only choice in the game with Paulie is I had to squash all the froggies I could. And I squashed enough to tie it on the last turn before winning overtime.
Yeah, he just got he pulled a Chance is what I'd like to call it.
Yeah.
Where he got super lucky.
Yep. And then overtime the crowd invaded the pitch and knocked a bunch of my goblins down, and he almost scored, but I was able to take it and win 4-3 in overtime. Paulie did go on to win the Blood Bowl, which is the league championship that year with that team, so I'm very proud of that win.
Yep. I lost two games. One of them was a Chance.
Yep.
It was the debauchery.
Yep. Yes. But he went on. You didn't lose another game, did you? The rest of that season?
No, I actually went, yeah.
Yep. All the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife's been eyeing up the Pogo guy.
Oh, the Pogo. The Pogo is funny because in Rulebook 5.0, he was what's called a secret weapon. That's a skill where it designates that those are cheating players. They brought an illegal weapon onto the field. They play one drive and the ref throws them out. Well, in the last rules edition, the Pogoer became a non-secret weapon. That became a league-approved mechanism. The goblins could now bring a pogo stick onto the pitch and not get thrown out, and it's really worked out great for them.
I'd like to think that the rules committee got together and said, you know what?
It's not that dangerous.
It's a kid's toy.
It's a pogo. Look at that. Exactly.
I love the idea behind secret weapon. The ref is not paying any attention. They bring this thing on the field, and at the end they're like, "Wait a second!
Wait,
what's going on here?"
Exactly.
You brought a huge it looks like a death roller onto the field where there's a dwarf driving a big lawnmower with spikes on it.
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to approve the chainsaw for league play for the goblin. That's next.
Oh boy, I hope not.
That's your second favorite weapon.
Exactly. No, actually, the ball and chain is my favorite. The fanatic. The position that it has a ball and chain permanently attached to the goblin, he's called the fanatic, and he's my favorite of the secret weapons. I love that guy. He moves in a random direction. Once he gets swinging, you can't control him.
You can only kind of
guide him. Because the ball is heavier than the goblin is, so it's dragging him around the pitch, and he might knock big guys down. He might hurt them. He might totally wreck your team. He may also kill your own people. But so the rest of them just all kind of scatter and let him swing around. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, we're going to next. I am switch this around because it's coming around. I haven't had any Blood Bowl experience outside of the video game.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this is what's gotten me to want to start playing actual Blood Bowl. Now, as for Blood Bowl, players yourself, what do you think about the video games put out by Xbox and maybe the PSP version?
We can cover these the PC came first, right?
Yep. Back in the day,
you have more experience with the PC.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to take that? I'll take
well,
the Xbox.
You know, there are a couple of things that I like about the PC version. First off, I like the idea of online play, where you can actually play a bunch of different people across the entire globe.
Because league play is really at the heart of this game.
Yeah. And on top of it, it really allows you to play a team to a point where you really couldn't play it with a tabletop game, or if you did, you would be devoting hours, days, weeks to this team to get, 100-plus games in. And you can try a lot of combos, and when you're dealing with a league team that is yours, that you've painted and spent a lot of time sitting across the table with someone, you aren't as you aren't as likely to make these kind of decisions. You want to make stuff that's good for your team,
that's
good for the play. But on the online game, hell, who cares? You don't like it. You delete the team and start over again.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. I was like, oh, my star player just died. Reset.
Yeah, exactly.
And with the new Legendary Edition, you can play, you can have all 20 teams running and try what you like and play.
Sure.
And like Paul said, you can play so many games in a short amount of time and try all these different teams out that you may not be able to do in real life for time reasons, for miniature reasons, all that stuff. It's Legendary Edition is a really huge improvement.
I was able to try, like, I really had no desire to play dwarves, and I actually kind of warmed up to dwarves. I tried goblins and realized they're horrible, and I don't want to play them.
If you can't coach them, they're horrible.
And then I tried out, like, lizard men, which is a team that I was kind of, that piqued my interest, figured out, I don't know if that's my type of team or not. So it really allows coaches to try out a bunch of different tactics, a bunch of different teams, all from the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, the only – I mean, like Paul said, online league play is amazing because league play is just so central to the game. It's not as good, though, as actually having people and meet, going to the game shop and sitting down and playing league. But that being said, the computer game is a great a gateway that way.
Mm-hmm.
You can play so many teams, pick out – you know, you play all these teams and all of a sudden, you know what? I really, really like – Lizardmen or whatever it is, and you can go out and get your miniatures, you can get in a league, and you can start playing them with all of your online experience. Now
I will say on the other side of that, there are a lot of communities out there that have started leagues over on the new Legendary Edition.
Huge leagues.
Came out. Well, there's some that are huge, but there's also some that are smaller that have built these intense communities, ones that you would find similar to a tabletop game.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that you also have that, but you're spanning across borders, you're spanning across time zones, that you really can get the feel of a tabletop league over a huge span.
Just get the time zones right, your main thing. But, yeah, you'll be able to talk with people and meet Blood Bowl enthusiasts from around the world. It's very impressive. Now, the flip side of that is going to be the Xbox game. Now, I own the Xbox game, and I am the third-ranked single player in the world based on their stats, which means I've played it a whole lot. All that qualifies me to say is that game was a huge disappointment. No online play, really hamstrung it.
Now, hold on. It had online play. I mean, it did.
Single game.
Yeah, one-off game.
But no memory. So no team progression, no skill progression, so that leagues were an impossibility, basically. We even had a show where we talked about some ideas, and you could go that route, but it is far inferior to both the PC and the new Legendary Edition is obviously the best. Now, that said, I've played it a lot. That's really kind of just the sit at home, tried a few things, but it's like a training wheels version. It's extremely limited, decent game, but not nearly the game the PC one is.
No, the PC definitely is superior.
Oh yeah.
But I will say to the Xbox, both the Xbox and the regular, and the computer game, that's brought a lot of players back to Blood Bowl.
That's true.
Sean, you have no idea the number of, emails that we get of people that were in your situation that started playing Blood Bowl on the computer version, or they used to play Blood Bowl back in the mid-90s. They
kind of drifted away,
came back to it with the computer version, bought a couple of teams, started up again. This has really opened up another avenue for new players, which is just fantastic.
Yeah.
I know myself. I've heard of Blood Bowl for quite some years. Even when I went to Games Day, they had some old sets. And I was just like, holy crap, they're expensive. But I live by my PSP at night when I get home from work. And I bought the Blood Bowl game for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest, at first I was pissed because I got this game. And I was just like, cool, I'm going to play me some Blood Bowl. And I used to play NFL Blitz all the time. So I thought I was going to play, kind of like NFL Blitz with some Warhammer guys. And well, next thing you know, it starts freaking rolling dice. I was just like, oh. Then I'm skilling up. I was like, I have no idea what these skills are.
Mm-hmm.
So a buddy of mine, AJ, he's just like, oh, you should check out these two podcasts if you're showing interest for Blood Bowl. He gave me the Zlurpcast. Guys, I'll be honest with you. I'm talking with one of my more favorite out of two.
Sean? Very kind. Thank you.
I did listen to I started listening to random episodes, and I mean, it was like, seriously, guys were talking Greek to me for a little bit. But
got that before.
I listened to your one episode. I don't have it in front of me what number it was, but it was the Blood Bowl for Beginners.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I'll be honest with you, that episode itself, taught me how to play, taught mm-hmm. me how the skill and the direction of what I was looking at when I played the video game. And I'm hooked now. I am entirely hooked on this PSP yeah. game. I'm upset that I don't have it for my PC, and I'm trying to start my own league here in Port Huron. So,
oh, very cool.
So that's where I'm coming from with that. But
they get all the Warhammer players to cross over and give it a shot?
Some of them, what I got is some old Warhammer players that don't really, they're not fond of the 8th edition rule set.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So they want to take a break, but they don't want to sell any of their models or anything. So it's just like, oh, well, instead of going 40K, we can play some Blood Bowl. So I'm working mm-hmm. on this really beautiful pitch and everything. And it's all visual. If you can entice somebody with something pretty and cool looking, they're going to jump on it, I hope. That's my goal. So I even told one of my friends, Mike, that I have some old Clan War figures. Mm-hmm. And he can start a samurai team based on the Clan War figures.
Absolutely.
And this was all because of that little PSP game that I picked up for $8 on eBay.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing right now is that Chance talked about the Xbox game, the one for Blood Bowl. Xbox Blood Bowl. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. The Xbox game for Xbox. You can buy it now for, I think it's like $5.
A buddy of ours, Wayne, got it for $10 just recently from Gamefly.
That's crazy.
$5, $10. It's definitely worth that. If you're looking to just get in, definitely get somebody to teach how to play. The tutorial is bad.
And just a kind of a piece of advice that we talked about this before in a podcast, that when you're going to start off a league, it's best to start small.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, maybe like four or six players, play it through at your local game store. And then it's funny how word of mouth spreads. People see this. They like football, or they like soccer, or they like Australian rules football, and they want to try it out. And then all of a sudden you find out, well, you used to play 40K. Well, you can still use your models. Okay,
exactly.
Well, this is the rule set. This is the way it goes. And a lot of people like the skill up aspect of it too.
Yep. So you really put your own stamp on the team.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, go ahead.
Oh, so you can actually skill your players up and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, the better they do on the pitch, the more skills they get. Mm-hmm. You pick the skills based on the roles, and again, you can develop what you want to do with them. Do you want them to score? You want them to be really annoying? You want them to hurt people? I mean, what do you want to do with these guys? You can make that happen.
And on top of it, you have players who are huge role players. Like I'm thinking about our producer Craig, who just recently got into he's like in the second season playing Blood Bowl, and he was huge into the role playing aspect. His team. The players took on the persona as he was playing them.
Right.
He said, okay, this is the way that we're going to – this is the skills you're going to choose. This is the kind of player they are.
Exactly. Based on their fantasy
persona.
Exactly. Yeah, you can go at it a variety of different ways. You can pick skills to match a theme. You can pick skills just that are you know, raw efficiency on the pitch. You can go a lot of different ways. Even theming your team is somewhere you can put your own stamp on the team. Maybe you're a – just throwing this out there, maybe you're a huge Star Wars fan, like Paulie mentioned the team earlier. You can name all your characters Star Wars characters if you wanted. You could name them all after, you know, automobiles or foods or, you know, just whatever interests you. You can really put that stamp on the team in just a variety of ways.
I heard one of the Bond girls or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we had an Amazon
yeah.
team named all after Bond girls. Exactly. That's a perfect example. I have one coming up in the future called Hell's Bells, B-E-L-L-E-S. All named her AC/DC songs.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So you can do whatever, any interest you have, you can name a Blood Bowl team after it.
Oh, sure. And, you know, a lot of, like, there's you talk about Star Wars. I just recently retired a necromantic team that was called the Dark Side of the Moon of Endor, where they were all, like, kind of garbage paled up Star Wars characters. Like, there was Barf Null and, you know, Barf Nader.
Barf Nader, yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Pope Palpatine.
Yeah. So there's a lot of room for creativity in this game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Now, the problem is we have is Blood Bowl is a specialist game, and it's really hard to buy stuff from Games Workshop that they put under the specialist game title because they want to charge three times over than what it's, I guess, what it's worth, so to speak. If new players want to get into this, how do they come by the materials that they need to play, and what do they need?
That's a great question. Obviously, I think the number one purchase you're going to need to make is an actual Blood Bowl set.
Yep.
Those can be ordered through any game shop, and those come from Games Workshop. You'll get a board. You'll get a couple of templates you'll need to decide certain things like passing. You'll get a rule book, although it will not be the most current rule book. The good news is you can download the current rule set, the competitive rules pack, for free from GamesWorkshop.com. So that's free. That's no problem. You'll get dice. not only regular D6s, but you'll also get special block dice that are used.
That you have to have.
Exactly. They're used specifically for this game.
Mm-hmm.
You get some player cards, you get some info, and you get two nearly complete plastic teams, orcs and humans. All the things you need to get started and branch off from there. So that's number one. You're going to need to actually buy the Blood Bowl game. And, of course, the pitch. Did I say the pitch?
Yeah,
the
pitch comes pitch, with the, yeah,
the actual pitch comes in there.
I think exactly. The MSRP is about $70.
It's about $70, depending on how far you are, and it's got to be shipped. But over, here in the Midwest, we can get them for about $70.
Yeah.
And your local game store can hook you up with that. After that, you mentioned, obviously, Games Workshop makes the game. They make a variety of these teams. They make Skaven, and they make a metal orc team. They're all metal. The teams that come in the starter, so to speak, are plastic. But once you buy teams from them, they'll be metal.
Yeah, they're
a variety of elf teams, dwarves, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. And a lot of them are really nice, and those can also be bought from Games Workshop. After that, there are a number of companies that make fantasy football miniatures for games like this. I would be remiss if I didn't mention Impact Miniatures. They're actually run by someone, Tom Anders, co-run. He and Gavin Sutton and the guys, run Impact Miniatures, and they worked on the Blood Bowl rule set in the past. They have a long history with Blood Bowl, and they make miniatures for a game called Elf Ball. And you can also use these to go back and forth for whatever game you're playing.
Different game, different rule set.
Different game, exactly.
Yeah, but
it's a fantasy sports game.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's very different. And they make a variety of miniatures, and they will sell you them in a whole team.
Mm-hmm.
Often the Games Workshop teams, while a lot of them I really like, I have a Chaos team I'm about ready to paint up. The problem is if you buy a team from them, there'll be one or two positionals you'll still need. So you'll have to buy, a couple more of those guys. Impact will sell you a whole team, whether it's a team you can use for Slaan, or maybe they have a relationship with a sculpting company called Roll Jordan, who makes really nice miniatures. And they make like a samurai, a mm-hmm. ninja team. They have a lizards, they're called the Sarkos. Valkyries I'm painting up right now. Variety of miniatures. So impactminiatures.com, you can go there. They also sell like basing materials like numbers and rubber band markers and all kinds of good stuff. So Impact Miniatures will be up there. Roll Jordan, they sculpt a lot of miniatures. You can order directly from them. Gaspez Arts, exactly. That's another miniatures company. And I know there's more. I know there's more. You could go to there's a couple of fan sites that are really, really huge here. You can go to NAF.org. That is a huge Blood Bowl site. You can sign up there, and they'll have forums about what companies are putting out what miniatures. You could also go to TalkFantasyFootball.org. That's a long-running Blood Bowl fantasy site with just years and years and years worth of threads and strategies and tips, not only about playing, but about where to get miniatures, how to paint them, how to mod them, all that good stuff.
Okay.
That's another great resource, too. But I'd go, Impact Miniatures is great, Games Workshop, Roll Jordan, and there's several others that I know I'm forgetting.
And just because we don't get any nasty letters from NAF, it's actually the NAF.net.
Oh, I'm sorry, the NAF.net. Thank you. Not work.
Yeah, the NAF.net.
The NAF.net. Thank you, Paulie.
Yeah, and they're a group that actually puts out their own set of dice for the game every year.
Yeah, you can join them.
They
authorize tournaments kind of worldwide, and you can mm-hmm. join them, and you can increase your worldwide ranking if you're interested mm-hmm. in that. And you pay, I think it's $10 a year membership, something like that.
It's 10 or 15.
And you get a free set of block dice. The special dice we mentioned that comes in the starter set is three
different
dice.
Colors.
And exactly the NAF.net. Every year with your membership, you'll get three very cool dice. I think last year's was pink with silver inlay, which
that
I got
is,
at Gen Con. And
nope.
this year was blue. No, this year was blue.
No, well,
but last year was pink, right?
No, no.
You, how many years ago was that?
Okay. Wow. Okay.
How many years ago was that?
They put a special set out of pink.
Right.
Yeah, that was for like I think it was breast cancer awareness. I think is what.
Oh, okay.
Doing.
Well, I'm glad about that.
Yeah, there's blue with a black inlay, and then the current ones are red with a white inlay.
I didn't get red this year at Gen Con when I signed up. Yeah. I got blue this year.
That's the one they have.
Anyway, they'll send you dice every year. TheNAF.net. Lot of different places to get miniatures and supplies for
yeah.
this game.
Yeah. You know the one thing about this as well is Chance said a couple of things. First off, you can get the rule book free.
Yep.
On the Games Workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And then
got
really, yeah, you know, and really all you need is you need to have some sort of miniatures and some way to mark which players are which. So you could use any sort of miniatures.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have the Games Workshop stuff because they do make great stuff. And
yep.
also Impact Miniatures, they sell fantastic stuff as well. And also, if you email them, they also sell boards where it's not quite as hefty, it's not actually on a board. It's more of a felt board.
Felt board, you can roll up. It's more portable.
It's pretty nice. But really, there's a low starting cost to it. And then you can figure out if this is a game that you really want to get into. And if it is, then you can drop quite a bit. And, you know, when you talk about, I think about the amount of money that I used to spend on HeroClix or the amount of money people spend on Warhammer, it's a drop in the bucket compared to what you spend on Blood Bowl.
Because it's not a game where a new expansion is going to come out every 2 or 3 months and be blind purchase. Now, I still like HeroClix, not to trash that model, but Blood Bowl has got that advantage over it all day long because you can buy the teams you want and you can play them indefinitely.
Yeah.
There'll be no retirement. There will be no, oh, the hot new team is coming out two months from now. Your team will be no good. That doesn't happen. You buy a dwarf team. If you really like dwarves, you can play that team forever.
Yeah.
And Paulie also mentioned a very good point. One thing you will not get with the board, and you'll have to buy either a specialized set or come up with your own, will be some kind of markers. You have to mark your players to show who has acted and who has not every turn.
Okay.
The cheapest way to do this would probably be pennies. I mean, you have, you know, 10, 11, 12 cents. You can just, you know, heads up, tails up. You can use pennies. Paulie's giving me the crazy look.
I don't understand. Okay.
Kind of like the action tokens for HeroClix, if you think about it.
You don't, yeah.
Well,
yeah, I guess.
A lot of people will also just turn your guys. You can also mark when they get knocked down. Okay. You may want to edit this out. Paulie's giving me the, I'm getting two things confused here. Usually when you act with a guy, you'll turn him to face a certain way. Some people don't like to do that. It's rare.
Okay.
It's rare, but most people just turn them. However, when they get knocked down, you will need to mark that spot with sometimes if they're too big to fit in the space.
Sure.
You'll also need to mark them as certain game effects have taken place, like your ogre has rolled a certain skill where he can't act that turn. He's gotten stupid, and you might want to mark him to show that's happened. So you will need some markers. You won't need to mark everybody every turn.
Okay. Wow. That's a lot to go with this, huh? So would would you put Blood Bowl as a board game or a miniature game?
It is a miniature game.
It's definitely a miniature game, yeah.
Yeah, it's a football miniatures game is the way I kind of look at it.
If you just bought the Blood Bowl game and that was it, it was just orcs and humans, there was nothing else to get, that's all you needed, it'd be a board game. But the idea that you can buy all these metal teams from all these different companies and you buy paints and supplies and you paint them up and you make them nice, I mean, the actual creating of your team is as much a part of the hobby as the gameplay. So I totally agree with Paul. It's definitely a miniatures game.
Yeah, I think everything to me is a miniature game. It doesn't matter. I even take my board games and sometimes paint up the pieces.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know what my dang problem is. I don't know if you guys heard, but Games Workshop usually puts out what they call, just started last year, what they call the black box.
Uh-huh.
Last year, they actually re-released Space Hulk.
Yes.
And there's rumors, actually, of Blood Bowl being in this upcoming year's black box.
That would be fantastic.
So my thought to everyone is because that Space Hulk was phenomenal. They did a great job redoing it, and it was very limited. So if you have a chance to get this, definitely, I would jump on the bandwagon here.
Now, do you just have to buy the black box, or do you know what's coming out in this year's black box?
The black box will come out. They won't give a release until it comes out. They'll release the information on that white dwarf prior to that release.
Oh, okay.
And they'll do a big article inside of White Dwarf and with a whole bunch of colored pictures, you know, everything all painted up and neat and showing their playtesters playing it. And, you know, I have a little thing of Jervis Johnson telling us about his opinion about the release. But that's how we'll hear about it is the minute that it hits stores, I mean, that month and at White Dwarf, we'll know, then I have a release date for it, so...
That'd be tremendous. And I know our game store will sell a ton of those because I know a lot of Blood Bowl players that would jump all over that.
I'm hoping that's what it is for sure. There has been a couple other rumors, but considering the last release was actually a science fiction set, they usually alternate between science fiction and fantasy. So let's hope for the best there.
That's it. Games Workshop, if you're listening, we want Blood Bowl.
And if you're listening, don't drop the IP hammer on Sean Hammer.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not going to bore you guys with the walkthrough of the rules and everything because, like I mentioned, you had one episode that you walked through the whole rules and you did everything very excellent. And I'm gonna tag that on the show notes so the people can go ahead, the listeners can go ahead and listen to that and hopefully get addicted the way I have.
That'd be great. Thanks.
And you guys are doing great on your podcast. I really enjoy it. You have a great connectivity with each other and very easy to listen to, so thank you.
Cool. Mine is real. Paulie's is rehearsed. Because he has to put up with me.
Is that why it took a couple days to get this going? He had a, like, in front of the mirror.
I have to psych myself every time we get in the studio.
Yeah, we auditioned for these jobs, and I took a liking to Paul immediately, and he just deals with me. No, I'm just kidding. We're friends.
Chance had to audition. I chose him.
Yeah, great.
So is there any leagues or stores you want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, there's a couple of things we'd like to go ahead and give a shout out to. First off, we would be remiss if we didn't include our sponsors, which is ImpactMiniatures.com, mm-hmm. and also Critical Hit Games out of Coralville, Iowa, mm-hmm. which is CriticalHitGames.net.
Yep.
If you have a chance to check out our league website, which is Iowa.BloodBowlLeague.com, which is done through Out in the Arrows Blood Bowl League, kind of helps definitely set up that Blood Bowl site for us.
Yeah, you can pay a fee, and they'll loan out basically their software to run a league. And we're running several leagues through the software. It keeps, you know, you enter the stats for a game, and it processes it, and it keeps track of your league records and your season records and who has the most casualties and scores, and you can put logos up there and all kinds of great stuff. It's a fantastic product.
And if you're even into fantasy games, I would suggest we have a podcast that's actually dropping tomorrow, which is the 20th of December. Check it out.
You're heading our next show. That's hilarious.
Producer, Greg, we actually have some parodies.
It's a holiday episode.
For some holiday songs.
Yeah.
That are just awesome. So you really do need to check them out. I was amazed when we heard them, just before we went on. So definitely check that out. You can check out all of our website, all of our podcasts at 3dieblock.com.
Great. And I'll be honest with you, I did not think Blood Bowl was as big here in the United States as it was in Australia. I've been getting crazy amount of emails from the people in Australia asking us. And it's nice to hear about some decent leagues happening here in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, there's some big ones. There's also the last few years have really started – well, I should probably a little earlier than that, but there's even a lot of major tournaments here in the U.S. a lot. There's Chaos Cup in Chicagoland area every year. There's the Spike Cup. Which is that Vancouver?
Vancouver.
Yeah, Zerp Bowl, ZerpyCast. They have a big tournament they sponsor every year.
Zerpy Bowl. Yep.
Yeah, Zerpy Bowl. So there's a lot of, not only are there a lot of leagues around the country, but a lot of major tournaments that you can go and test yourself against some of the best players in the world.
You can check out all those at the thenaf.net.
Yes, Paulie is correct.
Well, thank you guys very much for being on Sean Hammer today. I appreciate this.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing more from the Sean Hammer Nation.
Exactly.
Those that like the Nails. If you're Sean Hammer, are they the Nails?
They're my Fanatics.
The Fanatics. They're very cool.
Excellent. I like that from the Goblin Players. Yeah. Thanks for having us on, Sean. It was great.
All right. Bye, Sean.
Welcome. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
You too.
Well, that was Chance and Polly from the 3Die Block. You can check out more of them on 3dieblock.com and also on iTunes. Very entertaining to listen to, and we'll be covering some more Blood Bowl in the future, but I'll let the experts handle it, like I say. I know I promised some space or Ultramarines news. My news is I'm working on having Dan Abnett on the show, and we're going to do a little back-and-forth discussion about the movie. And should I give my advice for anybody out there who is on the fence about owning it? It is not a fantastically great movie. But it is very good. It's a freaking Space Marine movie. I really, first Warhammer 40K movie of its kind. Pick it up, support the damn thing. If this sells good, maybe we'll get more in the future. And we already got the best writer doing screenplay for it, so it can only go up from there. So go ahead and check that out. And if anyone's got any questions, you can send them to SeanHammer9@yahoo.com. Up pretty soon we have Eric Johns from Weird Games coming on. One of the head honchos of Malifaux. We're going to talk to Malifaux. That issue will be all about Malifaux. Or the episode will be all about Malifaux. We won't have no talk about Week in Warhammer, anything. It's going to be Malifaux madness. So go ahead and check it out. You got any questions you want to send, please send them to my email. Make sure they get asked on air, and you want to send in any pictures or anything, have them on the site for that. That's good as well. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I know I did. And till next time, remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game. Bye. And Merry Christmas. Catch me if you can, but you ain't had enough. You're standing tough, but you know that no matter what, you never get the chance to touch my balls, 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 balls. You'll never touch my balls. I see you in a player, you ain't balling, and I don't even care who the hell you call in. In this game, it ain't no talking. Can get it started. I nailed the coffin. And all I hear is, get your man up off. So why I gotta stop it? This nigga was talking. And I ain't gotta prove you nothing. And I do it. You ain't gotta push my button.
This dude in front of me, he weighs a brick. He's quick, and I can't get Marshall hit. So I play my position, then don't make a move. Been doing this for years. My team, we can't lose. And ain't nobody hard. 9 o'clock, I'm gonna punch me hard. Hut one, hut two, I'm ready. Pipe, give the boy Nelly. And nobody out there feels me. Take your sport, you have to kill me. And any player in my way, I'm folding. Damn it, call holding.
Catch me if you can, but you ain't had enough. You're standing tough, but you know that no matter what, you'll never get the chance to touch my balls, balls, balls. Balls, balls, balls. You'll never touch my balls.
Come on, I love football. Yes, tres, dos, uno, dos, tres. Fuck, shit, bitch, asshole, son of a bitch. Everybody cuddle, yeah, I mean huddle. I just stepped in a mud puddle. Butthole, freak, who just tapped on my ass cheek? Never mind, let's try quarterback sneak. Cover me, smother me with love, this brotherly. That didn't work, try another play. Hut one, hut two, hut, hut. Hurry up, I'm reaching up another grown man's butt. Hike the ball, I mean I like bizarre, but Jesus, yikes, I think I can fill his balls. My dick as long as it is hard. Yeah, so are my balls, it's the longest yard. Whoop, that's not the course. Run it back, wrong song, yeah, disregard that whole statement I just made. What yard line we on? Own five and our timeouts are gone. Less than a minute left, I just throw my ball to the sideline to Vaughn. He steps out of bounds, 48 seconds left on the clock, but every last one counts. Call another huddle, we're down by six. The plan is to throw the ball to Swift, but he's so goddamn high that he trips, falls and slips. Roof grabs about a fingertips. It runs the ball all the way down to the one, but he don't get in. But all we need is a putt club and blue street shit get in. But all we need is a touchdown and an extra point to win. But then I get sacked all the way back to the 10. God damn it, I'ma slap somebody if I get tapped on the ass again. Everybody's laughing now. No timeouts and it's now fourth down. We're never gonna make it. Wait, I just got an idea. Quick, everybody get naked. The nine go long. I'ma throw the bomb. Come on, how they gonna tackle you with no pants on? Ass out with a flopping slong. Touchdown, yeah, I told you. It's the longest yard.
Catch me if you can, but you ain't had enough. You're standing tough, but you know that no matter what, you'll never get the chance to touch my balls, balls, balls. Balls, balls, balls. You'll never touch
the
my balls.
The new face on the yard, just hand me the ball. I'ma run through all of y'all, y'all just saw. Even though my cleats is kicking up mud, it's more traction for me, I'm stiff arming pumps. High stepping through the end zone, I've been grown. I'm so dirty, you don't even know my skin tone. It's time to rumble, no time to fumble. And I won't stumble, your front line will tumble. Playing ball with killers, my team's the realest. Three-time offenders, even drug dealers. One of the best running backs that never was. Moving like Barry Sanders, leaving you in the dust.
Yak is high, got the highest yak. Hit the ground so hard, I'll eat tiger tracks. Was all snap like a fire crack. And my palm more stickier than spider back. I am an Iger Mac truck trying to sack us. No matter how big, they fly getting backwards. Wide receiver, receiving wide. For every stride in my life, yo, I breathe and die.
The defense is playing the pass, and the quarterback peeps and screams. That means that it's time for me to run out the back like a bat straight out of hell. My tracks burn turf when they excel. I try to lateral pass the ball to prove it. He got dropped and the ball came loose. It shot up like a flare. I gave the ball a stare and used a lineman shoulder as a chair. Now I'm flying through the air like a superhero. They can use this pose for a box of cereal. I'm no joke punk. I get my denario for being the best player on my team. What? As soon as I hear that hut, one, two, hut. I do run, and scream, but run, then I cut. Spin around on the end zone. Then I do the 90 shuffle, so.
Catch me if you can, but you ain't had enough. You're standing tough, but you know that no matter what, you never get the chance to touch my balls.
Footballs, I'm talking about footballs, dude.